to talk to you about the legacy of faith lives on. The legacy of faith lives on. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to read the first five verses and then we're going to go to chapter 14. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance, and they gathered, and the souls that had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Go with me to chapter 14. We're going to start with verse 13. "And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother Ishkol, the brother Anar. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, both in his own house, 318, and pursued him unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them on the Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his people, and the women also, and the people." Let's pray. Father, I just pray that this word that you put in my heart, God, I pray that you'd place your hand upon it and a heavenly weight would come upon your word and it would go deep into the heart, God. And I thank you for this word. I thank you for this banner over your people, God. I truly believe with all my heart this is from your heart and I thank you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me just begin by saying, going all the way back to our Pentateuch class, we saw that God took a man by the name of Abram and called him out from a land called Mesopotamia in the city of Ur. And we saw that at this time in history, the land of Mesopotamia was a very dark, depraved place. It was a place steeped in idolatry. It's a place steeped in idol worship. And we saw that in the city of Ur, there was a temple. Amen? And it was a very famous temple. People from all over Mesopotamia, which was a very large portion of land, came and worshiped pagan gods in this temple. And even people from the known world came and worshiped in this temple. Very dark place. And we looked at that and we talked about how it's very probable that Abram himself was a pagan, idolatrous man. He was an idol worshiper. And I just shared from my heart that I truly believe why the Lord would take a man like Abraham, why the Lord would take such a man as he is, because the Lord just wanted to show the world that if I can take someone like Abraham and transform him into a great man of faith, then I can do that with anybody. And so he calls Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and they begin a journey of faith, where through the years, God begins to cultivate a deep, God-honoring faith in Abraham's life. And I believe that this faith culminates in a place called Moriah. If we remember, Abraham and Sarah have their son named Isaac, and Isaac grows up to be a youth. And it's at that time that the Lord tells Abraham, I want you to go to Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. And I believe with all my heart, this was probably Abraham's greatest trial of faith. But the Bible says that he obeyed. In fact, he rose up early, got his servants, got his son, and they began the three-day trek to Moriah. And when they got to Moriah, Abraham looked at his servants and he said, stay here while me and my son go and worship. So this was an act of worship to Abraham. And what made this an act of worship? What is it that defined this moment as an act of worship? Well, Hebrews 11 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, accounting that God was able to raise him even from the dead. So Abraham went to Mount Moriah with this in his heart. Even if God has to raise my son from the dead, the promises of God will continue to live in him. Even if God has to raise my son from the dead, the promises of God will continue to abide in him and will live through him. And that's what made this an act of worship. And today I just have to ask a question. Today, what is worship? Is worship singing songs and lifting our hands as we're singing songs? Well, that's a beautiful expression of worship. It is worship. It's a beautiful expression of worship. But what makes worship worship is what is in the heart. And I believe a great big part of worship is just a faith in the heart that says, I believe everything within me, God raised his son Jesus from the dead. And all the promises of God are alive in him. Because Jesus is alive from the dead, all the promises of God for my life are yea and amen. Beginning at my salvation, all the way to the end of my complete glorification, and every promise in between, the promises of God are alive in him. And that is a big part of our worship. Now, I want to look at the very beginning of Abraham's call, because there's something in my heart. We see that on Mount Moriah, he did become a great man of faith. We see God accomplish what he set out to do, and that is transform him into a great man of faith. But I want to go back to the very beginning of his calling. I want to look at where it all started. So look with me again at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I want to show you. So this is the beginning of Abraham's journey of faith. His journey of faith begins with hearing God tell him, I want you to leave family, I want you to leave friends, I want you to leave country, I want you to leave land, and I want you to follow me to a very unfamiliar place. And I just want to say, that is where you have began with Summit. I believe that that is where you began. You know, you heard the Lord call you to leave land, to leave family, to leave friends, and come to an unfamiliar place that is called Summit. And some of you even left your country. And you traveled across the sea to come to this place called Summit. That's a very unfamiliar place. But yet in your heart, you sense that this was God, where God was leading you. Listen, the one thing that all of y'all have in common is y'all have left something. You left land, you left friends, you left country, you left something to follow what you sensed God was leading in your heart. And going back to the story, we see that the Lord, as Abraham left his country, the Lord began to speak great promises to Abraham. Promises that were absolutely humanly impossible. Promises that only God could accomplish. Promises in his heart. And I just want to say that when you arrived here at Summit, God immediately began speaking promises to you. God immediately began speaking promises of victory. God immediately began speaking promises. Listen, your very first chapel 2 years ago, starting in your very first chapel 2 years ago, the very first thing the Lord began to speak to you is about spiritual freedom. I'm going to work a freedom in your life, and you're going to serve me in freedom. You're going to learn your identity in Christ. You're going to learn your position in Christ. You're going to learn who you are in Christ. And when you leave Summit, there's going to be a foundation in your life that I have built regarding your position and your identity. And out of that foundation, you're going to serve me in freedom. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of warfare. There's going to be a lot of obstacles. There's going to be a lot of opposition. But there's going to be a work that's taking place in your life where you're going to know your identity. You're going to know your position. And you're going to know who you are in Christ, and out of that place, you're going to begin to serve me in great freedom. And the last 2 years, you have honored him with your faith. Every day has been a walk of faith, believing and trusting that as impossible as these promises are, God's faithfulness will prove unfailing. Every day has been a walk of faith because every day there was something in your heart that told you, God brought me here for a reason to do a work in my life that's humanly impossible, but what is impossible with man is possible with God. And you have honored God every day you've been here at Summit with faith. And I really want you to capture that because that's from the Lord. The Lord has been saying that as you have walked before him as a student, every day you have honored him with faith. Every day you have believed in your heart that God has brought me here for a reason. There's a work that he wants to do in my life that only God can do. And God will be faithful to do that work. And you've walked before him in faith. And it hasn't been easy. These impossible promises have come with many battles. Your greatest battle, believing that my great place of weakness is God's glorious place of change. That it's in my weakness that God accomplishes a glorious work. See, going back to Abraham, the father of our faith, he was the very first one that had to walk through this. And he was the very first one that had to learn this. That it's in my place of absolute weakness. It's in my place of absolute deadness that God performs his promises. It's in those places where I have been pressed into such places of weakness that God works greatest in my life. That when I'm at my weakest, that's when God is at his strongest. And I believe, you know, that's a truth that started with Abraham. And in these last years, you have at times been in this great place of battle. There's been many glorious days of basking in mountaintop sunshine where you felt full of strength and exuberance and enthusiasm and hope. And yet there has been those dark valley days of weakness and frailty and struggle, and you wondered, will I ever change? And where will I find the strength to change? And God has made me great, glorious promises of what he wants to do in my life. But I have to say right now, this is just one of those days where I can't even make it through the day if God don't hold my hand. But yet you continue to trust him. That even in my weakness, God will be faithful to perform his work. And you have learned this lesson of God's strength being made perfect in weakness. You've learned this lesson of God's transforming grace be glorified in our greatest place of need. Just the fact that you're still here proves you've learned it. Just the fact that you didn't run in fear and discouragement and despair proves you have learned it. Just the fact that you're still here at Summit with a strong confidence in God, believing that God was faithful to me at Summit and he'll be faithful to me in my next step, is proof that you've learned this lesson and your faith is honoring to God. Listen, when you're basking in that mountaintop sunshine, your faith is honoring to God. And when you're down in the dark valley of weakness and need and still believing God to do something in your life, your faith is honoring to the Lord. And the Lord is saying, I really want you to capture this. These last 2 years, your faith has honored me. You've honored me with your faith. When I put you in that Paul vice where it's in your weakness my strength is perfected. When I put you in that squeeze that it's in your weakness where my strength is glorified. And even in that press, and even in those times and moments of great weakness, there's something in your heart that says, you know what? My God, even in this place, will be faithful to do something in my life that I cannot do. God says, you have honored me with your faith. And here's what I feel the Lord is saying. That your faith has honored him and you are leaving your student status at Summit with something from God. Because you've honored Him with your faith these 2 years, God is about to give you something that's very precious and that's very priceless, and it's only something that He can give. So in your closing days as a student at Summit, what is God going to give you? Look with me at chapter 14 again. Let me give you the background. Now that you have chapter 14, look at me. Let me give you the background. As we learned in Pentateuch, chapter 14, you have a world empire on the rise. Four kingdoms have come together and made a coalition. We don't have a kingdom anymore. Now we have a world empire on the rise. And this world empire is conquering and triumphing over everything, mowing down everything. And after a great battle, one of those who escaped the battle came and told Abraham, "Abraham, they've captured your nephew Lot." Now, as soon as Abraham got the word, "They've captured my nephew Lot," Abraham began to sense that this is a battle God is calling me to. That this is a battle, as impossible as it is, God is calling me to fight. And in this, this is what God is now saying to Abraham. "Abraham, you're believing that I'm going to do the impossible in your life. But now I want you to start believing I'm going to do the impossible through your life. Abraham, I want you to believe that through your life, I am about to give you a victory that is absolutely humanly impossible for you to win." What does Abraham do? He rises up in faith. He goes to the place of battle. In spite of the obstacles and the impossibility, he puts his faith in the Lord. He wins the battle. And it's a great victory. But coming back from the battle, something happens. Coming back from the victory, something happens. I want you to look with me at verse 18 and 19. It says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed Abraham and said, 'Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth.'" So coming back from the battle, out of nowhere, this great priest of God suddenly steps on the scene. And you don't have to be in his presence but for one moment to realize this is a great man of God. You don't have to be in his presence but for one moment to realize this man walks under the shadow of the Almighty. And yet you find this great man of God presenting bread and wine to Abraham. Now, when this great priest was presenting bread and wine to Abraham, what was going on in Abraham's heart? Abraham suddenly found his heart being overflowing with the honor of God. Abraham suddenly began to sense, God is pouring out his honor upon my life. When this great priest came and blessed Abraham and gave him wine and gave him bread, Abraham understood at that moment, God has just robed me in honor. God is honoring my faith. God is honoring my life. And such a sense in Abraham's heart, it just came to a point of overflowing that God is honoring me. God has just put his honor on my life. And beloved, here is what I strongly feel to tell you today from the Lord. In these closing days as a student at Summit, there is an honor God is placing over your life that is going to be with you for the rest of your life. In these closing days as a student at Summit, there is an honor God is placing upon your life that is going to be upon you for the rest of your life. The faith you have invested these last 2 years is going to reap something so precious and priceless, the world has nothing that can match its value. And that is the honor God is robing your life in. I sense God is strongly saying, when you graduate, I'm going to be there to place a robe of honor upon you that you will wear the rest of your life. And wherever you go and whatever you do, people will sense and recognize the honor of God that I have placed upon your life at Summit. 2 years you have honored me with faith in your greatest places of battle and weakness, and now I am honoring you with the honor of God. And I want to tell you something. There's nothing more priceless than that. When God says, you have honored me, now I'm going to honor you. You want to know what that honor looks like? Look at the life of Joseph sitting on the throne as Pharaoh. You want to know what that honor looks like? Study the life of Daniel, a man who walked under an open heaven. I'm telling you, when God places his honor upon something, there is nothing more precious and more priceless than the honor of God. And I really feel in my heart the Lord is saying, graduation day, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to place upon each one of your life a robe of my honor. And no matter where you go, what you do, people are going to see it and they're going to recognize it. And they're going to know what honors God, God honors. Amen. And I just feel from the Lord just to tell you, through your lives, Abraham's legacy of faith lives on. I am well pleased. Well done. Amen. And I can honestly say from all my heart, there isn't anything I value more than the honor of God. You can give me anything you want to, and I'll be grateful. But God, the one thing I desire in my heart, that you just put your honor upon my life. Amen. So I just see it so clear in my spirit. When you come to get those diplomas, Pastor Teresa will be here. Someone will be here. I'll be here. But behind us all, Jesus is there. And he has a robe. As you take that diploma, he's going to place that robe of honor on your life. And say, you've honored me in your weaknesses and your battles. Your faith has honored me in your struggles with doubts. Your faith has honored me. And now I'm going to place a robe of honor upon you. And it will go with you the rest of your life. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I just want to pray for you, class of 2015. Lord, I thank you for this class. Lord, I sense it in my heart that in the last 2 years they have honored you with their faith. On the mountaintop, they've honored you with their faith. Down in that dark valley, they've honored you with their faith. Just the fact that in the hard times, the dark times, times of tremendous weakness, they didn't run. They didn't pine away in discouragement. But they, in grace of God, stood and believed that even in these places, God is being faithful to do something in my life. God, they have honored you with faith. And Lord, I thank you that your word says, 1 Samuel chapter 2, those who honor me, I will honor. I thank you for that, God. What a tremendous thing to walk in the honor of God. And when God has placed his honor upon you, people see it. Whether if they like you, they see it. If they don't like you, they see it. If they're your friends, they see it. If they made yourself your enemies, they still see it. Because the honor of God is something that cannot be hidden. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you are placing an honor upon them. It's going to bring tremendous favor with both God and man, Lord. And Father, we just here to thank you for your incredible faithfulness. Because it's you that picks us up when we fall. It's you that lifts us up when we're sinking in our winds and waves. It's you that transforms us from a Simon to a Peter. Into a rock that will not sink because it's been built and fashioned by the grace of God. And so, Lord, we honor what you honor today. Lord, it's important to honor what you honor. And God, you're honoring this class, so we're honoring this class. God, you have placed your honor upon this class, so we're placing our honor upon this class. Lord, thank you for what you've done in their life. Thank you, God, that you have worked something so deep. Thank you, God, it has been 2 years of victory and 2 years of freedom. Thank you, God, they know how to stand in their position. Thank you, God, they're not shaped by the world's identity, but they have been shaped by the identity of God. Thank you, God, when the world is running around trying to find out who they are, this is a people who know they are. And God, they know their God, and they will be strong, and they will do exploits. And God, when they get to heaven, Lord, their only cry is going to be grace, grace. It was by grace he began the work. It was by grace he finished the work. And the only boast I have is in the grace of God. Thank you for your amazing grace. It's not just a song anymore. It's a reality that lives in our hearts. Now we know what Paul meant when he said, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. My only boast is the grace of God. And I thank you, God, you're going to have an army that stands in the incredible honor of God. Incredible honor of God. God, what an incredible age it is for the church. An incredible church age. Because you're going to take broken people to fix a broken church. I thank you for that, God. Lord, I thank you for it. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, give them the grace to empty their quivers, no matter where they're at, that their faith in God would be strong, that in the mountaintop my faith is strong, and when I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, my faith of God is strong, because God is the one who raises the dead. And I thank you for that, God. And I thank you for this. And I thank you for this class. And I just pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Beloved, let's give our graduating class a hand. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.